That would be really bad if we were trying to do a podcast that didn't. Okay, so we are now recording. So, okay, perfect. So I'll give you a quick intro and then just kind of jump in. Like, okay, you've had your own MSP for 14 years. You saw a lot of gaps in the marketplace. And so you have relatively recently launched Triad Cybersecurity Channel only vendor in the space. And what we're going to be talking about today is some of the newer terms and correcting some misconceptions that are out there, or filling in some gaps, something to that effect. Does that work?
Sounds good.
Cool. Any topic, I mean, we can always edit afterwards, but any topics I should try to steer clear of?
No, I mean, nothing I can think of to kind of stay away from. I think it's all pretty important, you know, where we touch on the technology, the human piece. You know, if we end up touching on training or insurance or just anything that makes the security program a whole, you know, I think would be fine. I don't know of anything to really steer clear of.
Okay. I just always like to check, you know, if I ask you about something coming down the pike and it's top secret or whatever.
Oh, no, I don't know anything like that.
Okay, perfect. Okay, cool. All right. I mean, you may miss a word here and there. The whole point is just to be you. Yep. And educate. And then obviously at the end, I'll ask for some contact info, how we could reach out to you if we wanted more information on what you're doing in the channel. So.
Okay, that sounds great. And the camera angle is good for you?
Camera angle is great. Yes, okay, it is great. And hopefully I will not be speaking much because it'll just show, it may just keep it on you the whole time, which is great.
Okay.
So, cool. All right, so this is the awkward part. I'm going to have about 5 seconds of silence. That's so it's a little easier to edit when we start adding the intro, outro, etc. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I am super excited to introduce you to Jason Rory. Jason is the founder of Triad Cybersecurity. They are a relatively new vendor in the channel space and their channel only. And the fun thing is that Jason started his company because of the gaps that he saw in the marketplace, specifically around cybersecurity, based on his 14 years of running his own MSP. So Jason, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Excellent. I appreciate you making time for us today.
No, absolutely. I appreciate you having me.
Of course. Okay, so we are just going to jump right in because we try to keep these about 20 or 30 minutes and we have a lot to talk about. We are really going to jump into some of the relatively new terms inside of the channel. We're going to talk about SOC and SIM. We're going to talk about pen testing versus vulnerability scans and do a little bit of compare and contrast, because there's quite a bit of confusion and maybe some miscommunication going on in the channel. And I want to pick your brain and really learn from your experience.
Sounds great.
So let's start with vulnerability scans and pen testing. Can you give us kind of a high level comparison, maybe a quick compare and contrast between those two terminologies?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and there's two things that are, some misconceptions around them. They're typically confused. I ran into a lot of scenarios to where a client has presented me with a past pen test that has been completed for them. But, you know, after looking at the reports, you can tell it's definitely just a vulnerability scan. Mm. So I definitely see some confusion out there. So the biggest difference between the two is the vulnerability scanning is simply what it sounds like. It's a scan of the network, whether that be the external side of the network or the internal side. And if it picks up any vulnerabilities such as open ports or missing patches, you know, some of it can take a look at passwords. So any weaknesses that it finds on the network, it will report back saying, here's some of the things that you're vulnerable, and here's some of the remediation steps if you choose to, you know, fix those issues.
Okay.
Now, and that's it. And now a penetration test will actually take that same information from the vulnerability scan and try to exploit any of those vulnerabilities. So if there are open ports on the firewall, so let's say if remote desktop, you know, the standard 3389 is open, or maybe there's an unsecured, you know, web interface on port 80 opened up, and you can populate those interfaces. A penetration test will go through and try to brute force the way in, you know, using whatever methods they can. And once they're in, they can pivot around the network and see actually what information can be, you know, breached or stolen through exploiting that vulnerability, and then reporting that back to the customer. That would be the biggest difference. Is the penetration test takes it one step further and actually does, you know, exploitation of the vulnerabilities that are found.
Okay, got it. So then do both of those line up with the NIST framework, with specifically identifying what the risks are?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to know what your risks are without doing these, especially the vulnerability scan. You really can't get started with building a risk management program without knowing where you're vulnerable. So a vulnerability scan is needed to be done no matter what. The penetration testing would really all depend on whether, you know, you're facing some sort of compliance regulation, and that could be from the government or just your own clients, your board of directors. I've seen it from so many different places that mandate actually having a penetration test done. So that would definitely help ensure that the controls that you have implemented on the network are actually working.
So you've kind of hinted at this a couple of times. So if an MSP is in a sales situation where they are being asked to do one or the other, how important is it to know exactly what is being asked of them and then to deliver what they've been paid to do?
I mean, I think it's extremely important. Yeah, if a customer is truly needing a penetration test, you want to make sure as the MSP that's what you're truly delivering. And again, it just kind of goes back to those other scenarios to where I've seen where a customer needed a penetration test, they paid the amount of money that a penetration test would normally cost, and the end result was just a vulnerability scan. And I've seen that backfire in some cases to where, you know, maybe that client needed that penetration test report to be able to get a new client for themselves. And when they presented that new client with, you know, the quote unquote penetration test report, which is no more than a vulnerability scan, it was rejected. You know, they failed the compliance check and wasn't, you know, able to get that new business. And then of course that, you know, maybe not necessarily comes back legally on the MSP, but it could fall back on the MSP to say, look, I paid you to do a penetration test, you didn't, and it caused me to lose business. So, you know, now the MSP probably lost some business as well.
And right.
I've seen that quite a bit.
Okay. So I'm sure in the market there are different prices depending on what the services are that are being performed. But can you give us a ballpark on what you're seeing in the marketplace, let's say for a pen test?
For a pen test, you're probably going to look to pay anywhere from probably $3,000 up to about $15,000 for a penetration test. And it all depends on what's being tested. It could be, you know, if you're just doing the external pen test, which is just basically the firewall, you know, obviously it's going to be a little bit less expensive than including the internal network, or, you know, there's wireless options, there's web app options. So yeah, it just depends on what you're testing, what the rules of engagement state that needs to be done will definitely affect the price.
Okay, got it. And then these tests or scans, they are purely diagnostic, correct? There's no remediation that takes place?
No, I mean, a lot of the vulnerability scanners will give you links back to their knowledge base articles based on the vulnerabilities they found with remediation steps. But those do require, you know, intervention. The tool itself doesn't self-remediate the vulnerabilities. You know, you just get a report and then you go through, you know, as the MSP or in-house IT staff, and go through the steps yourself to fix it.
Okay, got it. All right, we'll circle back to those two terms in just a couple of minutes, but let's shift over to SIEM or SIEM and SOC.
Yes.
So let's do the same, kind of the same methodology. Can you do a compare and contrast of those two terms?
Yeah, so the SIEM is purely a technology device. Typically, it's a virtual appliance these days that sits on a customer's network and kind of acts like a bucket. And you basically point the same appliance to the firewall, the domain controller, maybe a file server, SQL server, Exchange server, whatever you want to collect and centralize the logs from. You pull into the SIEM collector, and from there, once the logs are correlated, you can analyze them for any type of abnormal or malicious traffic patterns in the network, and that will kind of alert you to things that are going on. You know, some of the best examples are if there's port scanning being done by external IP addresses on your firewall, a SIEM can alert you of that relatively quickly. On the internal side, if there's multiple failed login attempts on your domain controller within a short period of time, you can be alerted on that. If there's any user accounts added to administrators group, like the domain admins group, you can be alerted. And it allows you to be proactive and take care of some of these abnormal events relatively quickly. But again, it's just a technology device. It does require intervention to analyze the logs and then alert and or remediate depending on what's found. And that's really where the SOC comes into play. And a lot of times you'll see these two packaged together. And I think that's the way that they should be, is the single vendor will give you the appliance and then they will actually provide the SOC as well. So what'll happen is once those logs are correlated, they're encrypted, passed to the security operating center, wherever it may be located, and then the SOC analyst will use kind of a combination of, you know, their own expertise plus algorithms to parse the log traffic, looking for those abnormalities or malicious traffic, and then they will alert, say, the MSP on what's going on, and then the MSP will there take the remediation steps.
Got it. Okay, so SIEM primarily technology, SOC primarily human. I mean, with some overlap, I suppose.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a combo.
Sure. Okay. So what about vulnerability scanning and pen testing? Where is it purely technology versus purely human?
The vulnerability scan is purely technology. It's just really nothing more than scanning software that knows what vulnerabilities are and what to look for. It does take human interaction to remediate those vulnerabilities. The penetration testing, there is some technology that can be used with tools out there to try to exploit vulnerabilities that are found, but it's much more heavy on the human side because someone has to have that specialized skill set to know what tools need to be used, or, you know, some pen testers write their own software to try to take advantage of these vulnerabilities. So it's very human heavy. Therefore, that's why it's a lot more expensive than a vulnerability scan, because you have to have someone with that specialized knowledge and skill set to properly do the penetration test, and especially do one that doesn't cause, you know, any harm or downtime to the network, because you definitely want to avoid that.
Okay, so let's pivot and have a little bit of a conversation about creating the technology stack kind of from the sales side. So which of these pieces are technologies or are services that 100% of small businesses should be getting access to via the MSP versus on an as needed basis? Can you speak to that?
I think, you know, from a small business perspective and looking at MSPs security stacks and kind of folding that into their managed service offering, I think, you know, obviously at a bare minimum, they're going to have managed firewall, managed antivirus, managed data protection via, you know, backups. I know some MSPs include the offsite backups or the disaster recovery in their base pricing. Mm-hmm. Some don't. But I think as a core, that should be in. If you're not folding in security awareness training into your base offering, I think you're really missing out and not, you're almost doing a disjustice to your clients by not kind of building that in. And then from there, you can kind of build up. I know, you know, ID agents, dark web monitoring is a great thing to some people included. Some people, you know, kind of make it an add-on or a bolt-on, which is, you know, either way is a great idea as long as you're getting that in front of the client. Mm-hmm. And then the Siemens sock is another kind of add-on, because those, that solution can be a little bit pricey. So it's really kind of hard to get that into your base MSP offering without blowing your margins. But I think it is definitely worth the conversation, especially if you're dealing with clients that face compliance regulation. You know, if you have healthcare or financial based clients, the SIEM really needs to kind of be upfront, because it can go a long way with helping them, you know, be compliant.
Got it. Okay, so I'm hearing you say that the SIEM SOC combination primarily for compliance. I mean, maybe you could make an argument that everybody should have it, but certainly from a sales.
You can definitely make an argument. I think it's worth having the conversation about what mm-hmm. it is and the benefits around it to every client. And then you could speak to the compliance. But, you know, with Elevated Technologies, we have several clients that have the SIEM and SOC solution that don't have any compliance to worry about. They just see the value in kind of having that real-time monitor running on the network and, you know, helping us be proactive.
Mm-hmm. What about on the vulnerability scan and pen testing side? Is that something that you would recommend all MSPs provide to all clients?
I would say the vulnerability scanning, again, it's almost kind of like the SIEM and SOC. The conversation, you know, needs to be had. I think it's a good idea to do the vulnerability scanning, because there's not a lot to it when it comes to the technology and being able to execute the scan and then, you know, go through the results and help the client remediate what's found. Now, a penetration test, again, with it being such a specialized skill set and, you know, being at the price point that it is, you know, it's not really probably something for every client to worry about. But again, back to the compliance, it is, because a lot of compliance regulations, like HIPAA, for example, you know, HIPAA regulations state that security controls should be tested on an annual basis. And the only way to properly do that is through a penetration test. So again, you know, the MSP will know their clients better than anybody else. So just kind of needing to have that proper conversation, you know, depending on what the client looks like and their landscape and their needs.
Well, that's interesting that HIPAA is never going to use the words necessarily penetration test, but mm-hmm. you've got to be able to navigate that and be able to translate that. Here's what they're asking for. Here is the solution I have. I don't call it that. I don't use the same terminology, but that's what this is. So I think that's important.
And then the biggest thing, you know, to know about security, they tell you that, you know, the age-old question is, how much security is enough security? Well, the answer is just enough, you know, because you can overdo it. You can put too much security on the network to where it makes employees of the client, it makes them inefficient, right? They can't really get their work done. They're less productive because of all the security measures put in place. And when that kind of happens, you'll find people figuring out a way to circumvent the security. They'll go back to writing their passwords down on a post-it and sticking it to their monitor, right?
Yes.
So you just want to make sure that the security controls you're helping implement as the MSP are in line with the overall business goals of your client.
Excellent.
So walk that line.
Awesome. Which we kind of then come full circle, because that's not really a piece of what a vulnerability scan or a pen test does. It's looking just from a purely technology standpoint. It's not necessarily looking from a business functionality standpoint.
Well, exactly. So I kind of see it myself in three phases, if you will. So a business's security should come from the top down, meaning the owner, the C-level executives, managers, you know, whatever, whoever calls the shots with your client, you know, they should have an expectation in their mind, you know, with some consulting help from the MSP about what type of security is needed within the company to protect the company.
Mm-hmm.
Then you, as the MSP, you're in the middle in a sense to where, okay, well, the client expects this, so we're going to put these controls in place to satisfy those requirements of the overall business's information security policy. And then companies like Triad or any other auditing, testing type cybersecurity companies would be the third phase, to come in and help and partner with whoever's implementing the controls, and this could be an in-house IT team as well, just like it could be an MSP, and just partner and do regular testing of those implemented controls to ensure that they're continuing to operate properly and satisfying the goals of the overall security policy.
Excellent. Good. Thank you so much for breaking that down for us. Super helpful.
You're welcome.
All right. So Jason, I know you've talked a little bit about Triad Cybersecurity. Can you give us a little more information? What are you doing inside the channel? And then what's the best way to reach out to you if something that you're about to say intrigues a listener?
Well, yeah, inside the channel, I've partnered with other MSPs over the years in a lot of different ways through, you know, various vendor relationships, helping MSPs with disaster recovery, virtual server hosting. So I wanted to kind of, you know, bring my knowledge of cybersecurity, you know, to the channel and be able to partner with MSPs, understanding what MSPs need, understanding what their clients need, both from a technology perspective, in addition to budgetary constraints, because I think a lot of small businesses out there are non-compliant just simply due to they don't think they can afford it, or maybe they've looked into it and it just really is kind of out of their price range, so they're kind of walking that fine line. And those are kind of the problems I want to help solve. I want to help MSPs help their clients get these type solutions, you know, put in place or tested on a regular basis to, you know, help them further their compliance and do that at a MSP/SMB price point. You know, I want to make it, you know, affordable and appeal to the channel to where, you know, we can create some great partnerships and really, you know, serve our clients and help them ensure that their security. Because at the end of the day, you know, they're the ones helping the MSP channel grow. So we want to protect them, right?
Excellent. Good perspective there. I appreciate it. Sure. All right. So best contact method to get to reach out to you.
You can visit the website. It's triadcybersec.com. So TRIADCYBERSEC.com. Or you can email me at jrory@triadcybersec.com, or just give me a call at the office. That number is 281-653-7726.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for your time. I know you've got a lot going on, but I appreciate everything you're doing in the channel, and I appreciate you taking time today to educate the listeners.
No, absolutely. It was my pleasure. Thank you again for having me.
Absolutely. And that is a wrap. That's right. It. Easy peasy. You did awesome.
Can't believe I stumbled on my own email address.
That's all right.
Maybe you can edit that out.
It makes you real. I'll try. No promises. Oh, I love it. All right. So give me, like I said, I think we're about 3 weeks out in posting this. I've got to get this over to my editor, add the intro, outro, host it. So we'll host it on our podcasting channel. We will also put it out on YouTube. And then, of course, I'll get the links to you. I'll put it out to LinkedIn. I share it inside of my Facebook community. So do a little bit of social sharing there. Feel free to repurpose, obviously, as you want for your own awesome Marketing efforts. And then let's definitely stay in touch as things continue to shake out and get more mature for both of us. We'll see how we can support each other. I think there's
plenty of business out there. That sounds great. I definitely look forward to it.
Yeah, for sure. Excellent. Thank you again. I'm glad you are back in the swing of things.
Oh, and yeah, absolutely. Well, same to you, and hope you definitely get to feel better soon.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, Jennifer. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. Bye.